welcome back everyone to the Hikes Peak podcast. Thank you for coming back to the mountain. As you may be aware, this was a bit of a painful week for the Mountain West. In March Madness, the greatest sporting event on the planet, San Diego State and Utah State failed to show up, getting blown out by North Carolina and UCLA respectively. Colorado State got a triumphant upset over Memphis, and New Mexico notched an incredibly impressive win over Marquette, but the second round wasn't as favorable. The Lobos led early on two-seed Michigan State, but faded down the stretch to lose to the heavily favored Spartans. The Rams, however, went toe-to-toe with fourth-seeded Maryland, playing a fantastic all-around game to take a one-point lead with 6 seconds to go. Unfortunately, the cruel gods that oversee March Madness had other plans, as future lottery pick big man Derek Queen took one dribble, 3 steps, and hit a contested fadeaway floater at the buzzer to break the Rams' hearts. We'll dive into every game from the Big Dance this week, as well as my thoughts on two notable coaching carousel moves, with Nico Medved leaving Colorado State for his alma mater of Minnesota, and UNLV hiring former Memphis and Georgia Tech head coach Josh Pastner. Lots of show to get through this week. Let's dive in. We'll go in chronological order here, so starting with San Diego State playing North Carolina in the first four in Dayton, and this just was not a good showing for the Aztecs all around. This game was over after 20 minutes. They were down 47-23 at the half. San Diego State's been a team that's thrived on their defense all year long, and they just got absolutely blitzed by North Carolina. RJ Davis had 26 points. The Tar Heels shot 58% from three, and offensively, they got decent production out of Nick Boyd and a few other starters, but Miles Byrd really didn't show up. 4 points, 1 of 5 from the field, and 3 turnovers. Just a disappointing end to the season for San Diego State here. To make matters worse, with the portal opening up the other day, the Aztecs have already lost 2 of their biggest playmakers in second team Mountain West member Nick Boyd and Mountain West Freshman of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year Magoon Gua. The season record finishes at 21-10, which is their lowest win total since 2019. So hopefully the Aztecs are able to have a resurgent 2026 season before they end up moving to the Pac-12, because as of right now, the trajectory has been slowly going down since that incredible appearance in the national championship. Next up, we had Utah State, a 10 seed, taking on 7-seeded UCLA, and overall, Utah State just did not have any offensive firepower in this one. UCLA, we talked about, was not a team that was bad offensively by any means, but they were more of a control-the-clock kind of team. They aren't going to run you out of the gym, per se, unless, of course, you shoot 30% from the field and 13% on threes. Then you will get run out of the building. Utah State only putting up 47 points in this one. The only two players that really had a decent showing was Mason Falslev and Dayton Albury. Those two combined for 29 points, which was over 60% of the Aggies scoring in this one. And every other player on the team combined for 18 points, shooting 22% from the field and 7 turnovers. And notably, that does include Ian Martinez, their first team all-conference member, who we talked about last week would need to have a great offensive performance alongside Mason Falslev to get a win in this one, and he only had 2 points, 1 of 11 from the field, 0 of 7 from three-point range. Just a really tough showing from a guy that is definitely very highly regarded in the eyes of Aggies fans, considering he came back from the portal, decided to play his final season in Logan. Just sucks that this is the way his college career is going to end. The Aggies season finishes at 26-8, which completes the school's best three-year stretch since 2009 to 2011, which is just remarkable when you consider that they've had 3 different head coaches across that three-year stretch. And it should also be noted that Jared Calhoun, there was a lot of steam about him going to West Virginia, potentially a place where he got a lot of his notoriety as an assistant on that Final Four squad. But it does look like Utah State has got a extension done with Jared Calhoun, and he will be here for the future. So Aggie fans can breathe a sigh of relief. There may not be a coaching search during the offseason for the first time in quite a while. But on the court, obviously not the way Utah State wanted to go out this year. Now let's brighten the mood a little bit, starting with Colorado State's awesome upset over Memphis. Keon Evans and Neat Clifford starred in this one for the Rams' first tournament win since 2013. Memphis, coached by Penny Hardaway, led by All-American PJ Haggerty, one of the best scoring guards in the entire country. We knew that this was going to be a close matchup with a lot of buckets down the stretch, but Colorado State was really in control for the majority of this game. For one, it certainly helped that Memphis' second leading scorer scorer, their point guard, Tyrese Hunter, didn't play because of an injury. But you got to credit the Rams' game plan defensively against PJ Haggerty, holding him to 18 points. He only shot 7 of 23 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3, which against a guy that averages 23 points a game, shoots over 40% from 3, that is a job well done in my eyes. And offensively, Keon Evans shined, 23 points, 6 of 9 from 3-point range, also had 4 assists and 2 steals. Of course, looking ahead into the future with Nico Medved going to Minnesota, you have to wonder if Keon Evans is going to follow him there or if he will stay in Fort Collins. If he does stay in Fort Collins, he's certainly a candidate to be an all-conference member in 2026. And the captain, Neat Clifford, didn't have too efficient of a day. 14 points, 3 of 13 from the field, but he was able to do everything else. 8 rebounds and 6 assists, both led the team. This was a huge moment for this Colorado State program. Really happy they were able to get this victory. And in that same vein, New Mexico was able to outlast Marquette 75-66 for their first tournament win since 2012. And maybe even more so than Colorado State, the Lobos were in control of this game for almost the entire time. They led the game for roughly 35 of the 40 minutes. Donovan Dent and Nelly Jr. Joseph combined for 40 points. Dent with 6 assists and 2 blocks. You also had CJ Noland and True Washington both having 12 points apiece and adding a couple steals as well. Last episode, we talked about how good of a team Marquette is, and New Mexico really went out there, just took control the entire time. They looked like the better team out there. Incredibly impressive against one of the Big East best. And now on to the round of 32. Starting off with Colorado State taking on Maryland. This game went back and forth the entire way. Probably the most entertaining game of March Madness to this point. And before we dive into the weeds of this one, let's listen into the final 12 seconds with Colorado State down by 2 points.
It's Clifford. And Lake. Those are the 5 for Colorado State. They get it into the hands of Clifford. Trying to back down Miguel. Lake. That's for the lead. Gets it. Colorado State up 1. Here comes Maryland. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Calls the final timeout. Clutch for the Rams. Maryland needs 1 bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving, floats it. Hey! Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that buzzer beater is the epitome of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Just heartbreaking, I imagine, for every single Mountain West fan out there, and especially for Ram fans who had just been on such a magical run to this point, winning 11 straight games before this shot, needing to essentially win out from the point where they started that win streak, and they did just that. Just a really special team that really looked poised to be on a magical run and etching themselves into March Madness lore, and it just sucks that this is the way it had to go down. Neat Clifford absolutely showed up, led the Rams with 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists as well. Jalen Lake had 13 points, including that ginormous 3-point shot he hit with just 6 seconds to play. Keon Evans and Bowen Bourne also had 10 points apiece. The biggest culprit for the Rams losing this one was just that they didn't hit enough threes. For one, Neat Clifford went 0 for 3 from beyond the arc, wasn't able to hit a 3 during the NCAA tournament, and overall, the Rams shot 24% from 3 in this one. It's not like there's any one factor you can point to as to why they lost this game. They played incredibly, and you can pick any number of plays that could have gone a different way, but just that's the one stat that jumped out to me. And as for Maryland, it's funny looking at their stat sheet, because they only had 2 bench points. All 5 of their starters reached double figures, and they shot 42% from 3. They probably needed every ounce of effort from their 5 starters that they got, and unfortunately, that's kind of the way college sports is now. Most Power 5 teams are going to have a roster built of either blue chip recruits or proven group of 5 transfers. So more than likely, if you're a mid-major in March Madness, you're going to have to play a near perfect game to get the win. And real quick, let's address the elephant in the room. Was it a travel? Did Derek Queen take 3 steps before he got that shot off for the buzzer beater? And I'm going to say the answer that pretty much everybody else is saying. Yes and no, absolutely not. Yes, when you slow it down It's undeniable. He takes three steps. But in reality, that carry has not been called consistently in the NBA or in the college ranks for probably the last two decades, I'd say. And especially with 2 seconds left in an NCAA tournament game with the Sweet 16 on the line. What referee is ever going to blow the whistle on that? It's just not going to happen. It's absolutely heartbreaking that this is the way that Colorado State's season had to end, but there's just no conceivable way that would have been called a travel without replay review, which is just not how basketball works. That's my opinion on that. You're completely entitled to your opinion because it is a travel, absolutely, by the rule of the law, but I just think you have to look at it in the context of the situation. There's just no shot that's getting called if it's not an egregious travel, which it's not. It hasn't been an egregious travel for almost 10, 15 years. The Rams season finishes at 26-10, their highest win total since 2013. We'll talk a little bit more about the future of the Rams program once we get through the last two games of the show. But overall, Ram fans got to be really proud of what this team accomplished. Just an incredible roller coaster ride that they have taken their fans on over the last 2 months. And it really seemed like there were a couple more loops to be had, but it was cut short, unfortunately. And this does seem like the end of an era with Neek heading to the NBA and Nico heading to Minnesota. And the last team standing, New Mexico, taking on Michigan State, the 2 seed. They led them early by double digits, but did fade late to lose 71-63. Just didn't have enough offensive gas down the stretch. Nelly Jr. Joseph had a phenomenal final collegiate game. 16 points, 7 of 9 from the field, 7 rebounds, and 2 steals. He was battling through foul trouble throughout this game, did ultimately foul out, but his impact on the game was apparent even against a elite team top to bottom like Michigan State. Nelly Jr. Joseph was still arguably the best defensive player on the floor, which really speaks volumes to how good of a player he is and has been for the Lobos. Mustafa Amziel also had a fantastic game, 14 points, shot 6 of 8 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3-point range, really helped keep that Lobo offense afloat in the second half, a big reason why this final score was still in single digits. And Donovan Dent overall played all right, but just didn't play at a superstar level like he would have had to for New Mexico to pull off this insane upset. He had 14 points, shot 7 of 18 from the field, had 6 assists, but did have 4 turnovers as well. Tom Izzo put together a really good defensive game plan to disrupt Dent's rhythm, really made it hard for him to get the ball back in his hands once he gave it up initially. And just overall, this is a game where New Mexico had to play perfect to have a chance against this Michigan State team, which is one of the deepest in the country, and they just didn't play perfect, and that's all right. Michigan State is a team that doesn't even have a true star. They just have 10 guys top to bottom that can hurt you. That really showed up in this one. They had 36 bench points, which is just ridiculous. For comparison, New Mexico only had 7. And also for comparison, looking at Michigan State's rotation, every single player that they play consistently is a former top 100 recruit, except for one guy, and that's Frankie Fiddler, who had 90 plus starts at Omaha and averaged 20 points a game as a junior. So that's the kind of roster you're going up against. New Mexico literally could not have made a single mistake down the stretch there, and that's just not realistic. It's just not realistic for any Group of Five team at this point. It's going to take perfection for a team to get past the Sweet 16 at this point, I believe. But overall, the Lobos season finishes at 27-8, their best record since 2014. As of right now, Richard Pitino is still the head coach of the Lobos. In his post-game press conference, he made it very clear that he has no intentions of leaving and is already planning for next season. Obviously, things could change. We will bring up any news as it comes up. But from what he's saying, Lobo fans may be able to hold out hope that Donovan Dent and Richard Pitino will be back for next season. And if that's the case, New Mexico absolutely on the right track to potentially take over the Mountain West down the stretch of the 2020s. And really quick, we did have San Jose State playing in the NIT against Loyola Chicago. They had a great comeback attempt that fell just short. They lost that game 73-70, but it was nice to get those seniors one last home game. Their season finishes at 15-20. And quickly, let's just hop on the coach carousel. With Nico Medved taking the job at Minnesota, Medved graduated from the University of Minnesota, so this move has been rumored rumored and reported on for weeks now, with it becoming official after the Rams bouncing out of the NCAA tournament. Lead assistant Ali Farouknamesh is the favorite for the job, but a firm has been hired to lead a national search, which could mean an outside hire is coming. Another name you have to watch for is Craig Smith, who was recently fired from Utah after 4 years there. He had successful stints at South Dakota and Utah State before that, and likely is interested in the job considering he got his first D1 assistant job with the Rams in 2008, staying with the program for 5 years. And our second stop on the carousel is UNLV hiring Jeff Passner. First, it should be noted that UNLV spent the entire day trying to hire Arkansas State's Brian Hodgson, who ended up taking the job at USF. Half an hour to an hour after that news broke, Jeff Passner was hired by UNLV, so take that for what you will. Passner's a bit of a past name, with his peak being at Memphis post John Calipari, taking the Tigers to 4 straight NCAA tournaments, winning at least one game on each trip. His most recent job was at Georgia Tech, where he was head coach for 8 years, reaching the big dance once in 2021. And now for my opinion, considering how quickly the Rebels hired Passner after striking out on Hodgson, as well as the administration interviewing at least 25 candidates, it's worth wondering if this hire is a smart one. On one hand, he's always had a reputation as a phenomenal recruiter, and Passner has experience with big expectations at Memphis right after John Calipari took them to the national championship. But on the other hand, in this new age of college athletics, even 2 years away from the sport feels like a lifetime. Passner didn't post a winning record at Georgia Tech after the transfer portal was unleashed, so there isn't any evidence that he can thrive in this new playing field. That is it for this week's episode of the Hikes Peak Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I know it was about as brutal of an ending as us fans could have hoped for, but let's take pride in what each and every team accomplished this season. Also, our Mountain West College Basketball Transfer Tracker is out now. It was just released before this episode, so you can find a link to the constantly updating list of portal entries in the description of your podcast app. Follow us on Twitter at MWC Connection and find all of your Mountain West news at MWCConnection.com. If you enjoyed the episode, rate the show 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on, or leave us a review on iTunes. Nothing helps the show out more than that, so any ratings would be greatly appreciated. Thank you again for listening. Although we're out of the big dance, there's going to be no shortage of movement to come this offseason. Until next time, I'm Jack Thompson, and thank you for coming back to the Mountain.